The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to really unpack complex ideas and give you the essential takeaways.
That's right. And today, we're diving into a really significant book, Martin Seligman's The Optimistic Child.
It feels incredibly relevant right now.
It really does. Our mission today is to get to the heart of it, to pull out the core insights on how optimism can actually be taught, systematically taught.
Because the need is, well, it's pretty stark, isn't it? You look at the data.
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing this worrying increase in, you know, depression, anxiety, pessimism among kids, teenagers.
And it seems to be starting earlier than ever before. A lot of the ways we try to help feel reactive.
Exactly. And that's where Seligman comes in. His whole argument is about being proactive. He talks about psychological immunization.
Immunization, like a vaccine for the mind.
Sort of, yeah. It's about equipping kids with the mental tools before they get stuck in those negative thinking patterns, the ones that can spiral into depression down the line.
Okay, so let's talk about the source of this idea. Who is Martin Seligman? What makes his perspective so unique here?
Well, he's a giant in psychology, often called the father of positive psychology, professor at UPenn, past president of the APA. I mean, his credentials are top tier.
But his angle on optimism is different, isn't it? It came from somewhere. Darker.
It did, and that's key. His early foundational work was on learned helplessness.
Right, that's the idea that if you repeatedly face something bad you can't control, you eventually just stop trying, even when you could escape.
Precisely. That feeling of utter resignation. He spent years mapping out how that passivity develops, how it connects to depression.
But he didn't stop there.
No, he pivoted. He asked, what makes some people not give up? And that investigation led him straight to learned optimism. It was a deliberate shift, you know, from just treating illness to actively building wellness.
Okay, so if learned helplessness is about giving up, what's the core idea, the central thesis of the optimistic child? What is learned optimism?
The really groundbreaking part is that he says optimism isn't some fixed trait you're born with. It's a learnable cognitive skill.
A skill, like learning an instrument.
Kind of, yeah. It's based on cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, principles. It's about changing how you think, how you process what happens to you.
So we're not just wishing kids felt better. We're actually giving them tools to manage setbacks.
Exactly. And the absolute core of it is what Seligman calls a child's explanatory style.
Explanatory style.
Okay, what's that?
It's their default, sort of automatic way of explaining why things happen,
yeah.
Especially bad things, failures.
And that style, that predicts a lot.
Hugely. He argues it's the biggest predictor of their resilience, their mental health, even how well they do in school. It's the mechanism.
Wow. So the book itself is basically the instruction manual for tuning that mechanism. That's a great way to put it. It's a practical step-by-step guide for parents, for teachers. The real goal is prevention catching and challenging those pessimistic thoughts before they become deeply ingrained habits.
Okay, before we get to the how-to, the ABCDE model, the book sets some important context. It talks about the crisis, but also critiques how we've tried to build resilience before. What's his take on the self-esteem movement?
Ah, yes. He's quite critical there. He argues that the whole push to make kids feel good about themselves, you know, praising them constantly, regardless of effort.
You're so smart, even if they didn't really try.
Exactly. He says it was well-intentioned, but it often backfired because it separated self-worth from actual, tangible accomplishment or effort.
Which leads to what? Fragile egos?
Precisely. You build this inflated sense of self that's not grounded in reality. So when that kid inevitably faces real criticism or fails at something genuinely difficult,
it shatters because there was no real foundation.
Right. Seligman insists genuine self-esteem is earned. It comes from struggling, from persisting, from solving problems, from mastering things. It's the knowledge that you overcame something tough.
That really shifts the focus, doesn't it? From protecting kids from failure to actually equipping them to handle it.
Absolutely. And to equip them, we first need to recognize the language of pessimism. This brings us to his famous three P's.
Okay, the three P's. These are the dimensions of pessimistic thinking we need to listen for.
Yes, these are the hallmarks of a pessimistic explanatory style. Spotting them is the first step. The first P is permanence.
Permanence. Thinking the bad stuff will last forever.
Exactly. You hear it in phrases like, I'll never get this right, or things will always be this bad. The optimist sees setbacks as temporary. I had trouble today, or I didn't get it this time.
Okay, that makes sense. What's the second P?
Pervasiveness. This is when one specific failure bleeds into everything else.
Like, I failed this math test, therefore I'm stupid and bad at everything.
Precisely. It takes a single event and makes it a global judgment about their entire character or ability. I'm just a failure.
That sounds exhausting. And the third P.
Personalization. This is where the child blames themselves entirely internally. It's all my fault. I messed up because there's something wrong with me.
Instead of maybe looking at external factors.
Right. An optimistic child might think, that test was really hard, or I didn't have enough time to study for that specific part. They find specific, often changeable reasons, rather than just internalizing blame. When these three Ps, permanent, pervasive, personal, dominate thinking, that's the pathway to helplessness.
Okay, so that's the problem mapped out. But the book offers a solution, the toolkit, the ABCDE model. This is the how-to, right?
This is it. This is the core school of learned optimism, translating CBT into something teachable. It's a five-step process for challenging those automatic negative thoughts.
Let's walk through it. A is for.
Adversity. That's the trigger event.
Yeah.
Getting bad grade, not making the team, having an argument, whatever the negative thing is.
Okay, then B is.
Beliefs. These are the immediate thoughts that pop into the child's head about the adversity. And this is where those pessimistic three Ps often show up.
Like, I didn't make the team, A, because I'm totally unathletic and always will be. B, permanent, pervasive, personal.
Exactly. Then come C, the consequences. What do those beliefs lead to?
Feelings and actions, like feeling really down, maybe giving up on sports altogether.
Yes, the emotional fallout and the behavioral response. Sadness, withdrawal, anger, quitting. But the crucial step, the intervention point, is D.
D for disputation. This sounds like the active part.
It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you teach the child to actively argue against those automatic negative beliefs. It's like being a detective or a lawyer for your own thoughts.
How do you do that? The book gives specific techniques, right?
It does. Four key ways to dispute. First, look for evidence. Ask, what's the actual proof for this belief? Is there evidence against it?
So challenge the factual basis of the negative thought.
Right. Second, seek alternatives. Are there other less catastrophic explanations for the adversity? Maybe the coach needed defenders this year and you're a forward. It's not about you being universally bad.
Makes sense. What else?
Third, consider the implications. Even if the belief were partly true, what's the real consequence? This is about decatastrophizing. Okay, I didn't make this team. Does that really mean my life is over?
Putting it in perspective. And the fourth technique.
Assess the usefulness of the belief. Ask, is thinking this way helping me or hurting me? Is it motivating me to try again or making me want to give up? Even a partially true negative thought might be useless if it paralyzes you.
So you actively challenge the thought's evidence, look for alternatives, check the real implications, and see if it's even helpful to hold on to it.
Exactly. And when that disputation works and the child successfully challenges the negative belief, they reach E-energization.
Energization, what did that feel like?
It's that feeling of relief, maybe even pride, a lifting of the negative mood, a renewed sense of control, and motivation to move forward because they've managed their internal reaction.
Wow. Okay, this really reframes how we think about dealing with negative emotions. So boiling this all down, what are maybe the top two or three really big takeaways for parents or anyone working with kids?
Well, the first big one has to be that idea of optimism as a psychological vaccine. The research Seligman did showed that teaching these ABCD skills before adolescence hits hard can actually prevent or reduce depression later. Prevention really is powerful.
That's huge. It gives adults a proactive role rather than just damage control.
Definitely. The second key takeaway is the difference between flexible versus blind optimism. This isn't about pretending problems don't exist or Pollyanna-ish thinking.
Right. It's not toxic positivity.
No. It's realistic optimism. It means seeing problems clearly, but interpreting them as temporary and specific, which then fuels problem solving, not despair. You still need to accurately assess risks and challenges.
Okay, realism is key. And a third major point.
I think it's the role of adults as cognitive coaches. We have to model this stuff. If we're constantly voicing our own pessimistic thoughts about traffic or minor mistakes.
I'm such an idiot for forgetting that.
Right. We're teaching pessimism by example. We need to consciously practice and maybe even narrate our own ABCDE process out loud sometimes. Oops, I burned the toast. A, my first thought is I'm a terrible cook. B, makes me feel useless. C, but wait, evidence. I made a great dinner last night. Alternative, the toaster setting was too high. Implications, yeah. We use different bread. Usefulness, calling myself terrible isn't helpful. D, Okay, I'll adjust the setting next time.
You have to walk the walk. It's not just telling kids what to do.
Exactly. They learn explanatory style largely from us.
The book has some really quotable lines that capture these ideas powerfully. Let's maybe touch on a few key paraphrased ideas.
Yeah, there's some great ones. How about the one that puts interpretation front and center?
Oh, right. The idea that your child's explanatory style, how he explains setbacks to himself, is more important than what happens to him. That just lands so hard. The meaning we make is more crucial than the event itself.
It really is. And he doesn't downplay the stakes either. He states plainly that pessimism is an entrenched habit of mind that has sweeping and disastrous consequences. It frames it not just as a mood, but as a dangerous habit.
And the core skill defined so simply, the basic skill of optimism is learning to argue with yourself. That captures disputation perfectly. It's logical self-talk.
Mm-hmm. And finally, that powerful redefinition of self-worth. Real self-esteem is a product of dealing with frustration, overcoming challenges, and earning success. It grounds confidence in actual competence, not just empty praise.
So powerful. Okay, let's make this super practical. If a parent listening right now hears their child using those pessimistic P's, how do they apply A, B, C, D, E on the spot?
Okay, let's take the failed test example. Child says, I'm just stupid. That's pervasive, probably feels permanent to them. Your first instinct might be to just say, no, you're not.
Right, just deny it.
But the coaching approach is different. You guide the disputation. Ask gently, okay, you feel stupid right now because of this test. Let's look at the evidence. Are there things you are good at? What about that complex science project you aced last month?
So you're challenging the global pervasive belief with specific counter evidence.
Exactly. Then explore alternatives. Was there anything else going on? Did you understand the homework? Did you miss a key topic?
Mm-hmm.
Help them shift from I'm flawed to there was a specific reason for this outcome.
So moving from a character problem to a strategy problem, maybe I need a different way to study this subject. Yep. Specific, temporary, changeable.
Precisely. Another huge application is praise. Seriously, stop praising innate talent. No more you're so smart or you're a natural.
Instead,
praise effort, strategy, persistence, improvement. Wow, you really stuck with that difficult problem. Or I noticed you tried a new approach on that drawing and it really worked. Or you studied hard for that and your score went up. Your effort paid off.
Because that reinforces what they can actually control. Their actions, their choices. Building that earned competence.
Yes. And don't forget the modeling. When you face a setback, narrate your optimistic reframing. Let them hear you challenge your own pessimism. That's maybe the most powerful teaching tool you have.
Thinking back on all this, what really struck me revisiting it was how clearly learned helplessness paves the way for depression. It's like Seligman mapped the illness first, then reverse engineered the cure optimism by finding its logical opposite. That makes the ABCDE model feel so concrete, so achievable.
Yeah, it's not just vague positive thinking. It's a structured cognitive technique.
Yeah.
And for me, the most profound thought is that this isn't ultimately about shielding kids from hardship. You can't, and you probably shouldn't.
Right.
It's about forging their mental armor. Giving them the internal skills, the cognitive weaponry, to face adversity head-on, interpret it constructively, and actually emerge from challenges stronger, more capable, and ready for what comes next. It's about fostering genuine flourishing, not just preventing failure.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.